Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do encourage you, if you've not already, to pick up your copy of Slime Incorporated. It's my first detective novel. It's a modern novel, but it pays a tribute to a lot of classic detective elements. The story is one of murder and dirty politics set against the backdrop of a gubernatorial election. It is available as a paperback, an audiobook, or an ebook wherever fine ebooks are sold. So pick up your copy of Slime Incorporated today. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date, August 13th, 1946, and this one is The Smuggled Diamonds Murder.
Papa?
Yes, Mama. What did I do? Fall asleep?
Yeah, you were drowsing, Papa. And no wonder. You worked very hard in our shop.
You worked just as hard, Mama. Mm-hmm. Maybe we close up this bookshop and go away, the two of us. Some place in the mountains. Like in the old country.
I would like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I wake you up now.
If you did not wake me, the telephone would. I will answer it. Hello.
Mr. Allen, please.
This is Mr. Allen speaking.
Hold the line, Mr. Allen. London is calling.
Mama, it is London, the call I am expecting.
Oh, good.
Mr. Allen.
Yes?
This is Jackson.
Oh, yes, Mr. Jackson.
About those bonds. I can buy at 4, if you like.
At 4? Splendid.
Good. I'll buy right away.
Oh, by all means do, Mr. Jackson.
I will.
Goodbye. Good news, Mama. Good news.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Mr. Bernard?
Yes?
You know who this is?
Oh, yes.
About that car you were going to get me.
Yes?
I want to make certain it has 4 good tires. 4.
Don't worry. It'll have 4 good tires.
Is that all? That is all, Mr. Bernard. Goodbye.
Bye.
Mama. Oh, Mama.
Yes, Papa.
Mama, the arrangements are all complete.
They are. That's good.
Very good. We are smuggling in another $150,000 worth of diamonds. We'll have them tomorrow.
It's smooth. Smooth, smooth, and you're sure it's pure.
That, my friends, was the voice of a man, an enthusiastic friend of C.V., describing what he likes about Champagne Velvet, the beer with the million-dollar flavor. You, too, will find that C.V. is smooth from foam to finish. More than that, from your first sip of the rich, creamy foam that billows on top of your glass, right down to that last delicious drop, you'll find C.V. bright and sparkling, light and lively, with a clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure and stamps it as a beer of real premium quality. Premium quality that costs you no premium in price.
Yes, sir, it's smooth. Just as smooth, and you're sure it's pure. There is no finer beer.
On to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
Well, Mr. Brown, are you customs officials officially satisfied that I'm not smuggling anything into your fair country?
We're satisfied you don't have anything on you or in your luggage, Mr. Davis. But we know you're smuggling stuff into this country. And we'll catch you with it one of these days.
You hope. Good night.
I wouldn't be so smug, Lewis. There might be a next time, you know. Miss Weeks, I'm leaving my office. I may not be back for several days. I am devoting that much time to following a certain Mr. Frank Lewis.
Oh, Blackie. Now I know what they mean by saved by the bell. One more punch and that kid White would have been knocked out, wouldn't he?
You said it. I'm surprised he was still around to get that one more punch.
Your attention, please.
Oh, maybe they stopped the fight.
Your attention, please. Will Boston Blackie please go to the telephone at booth 6?
Oh, and I thought it was going to be something important. Excuse me, Ryan.
Sure, sure, but don't you forget
Will
to come
Boston
back.
Will Boston Blackie please go to the telephone at booth 6? Boston Blackie.
Well, probably missed the knockout now because it's like Faraday's caught something. Probably a cold like mine. Eight six. Oh, here. Six, okay. Hello?
Blackie?
Yes?
Blackie, this is Charlie King.
Charlie, how are you? Never mind, don't tell me. I'll tell you. You just put over another $1 million deal and you want to brag about it.
No, it isn't that. Blackie, I'm sorry to have bothered you with the fight, but I have to at my house tomorrow afternoon. I didn't want you to make any other plans. I'm worried. Terribly worried. Blackie, you've got to be here tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock sharp.
Well, who is it?
Jim Curtis.
Come in. Set the tray down in this table room.
Yes,
sir. That's right. How's the steak? The way I ordered it?
Lift the silver cover and see, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Satisfactory, Mr. Lewis?
It ought to be. $150,000 worth of diamonds right there. Any trouble getting them here to the hotel?
Oh, no, sir. Everything was on schedule. Anything else you need from me, sir?
Yes, your clothes. Take off that waiter's outfit and stay in this room. I'll be back in 15 minutes to switch places with you. It's all part of the boss's plan, Carl. All part of the plan. Hello, Papa.
Oh, Mr. Lewis, I'm glad to see you. I see you changed your clothes with Carl the waiter, as I instructed you to do. Wait. I locked the door, pulled down the shade. Now.
Well, Papa, I certainly know by now how smart you are. I follow orders.
Good, good. You are the only one in our organization who knows me. I'm happy to follow things as I decide them. Did anyone see you leave the hotel?
Not a chance. If anyone was trailing me from the plane, they think I'm still in my hotel room. I came down the service elevator and out of the service entrance. I've got to get back right away before someone misses Carl.
Yes, yes, of course.
He did his job. Yeah, the diamonds he gave me. $100,000 worth.
Not $150,000 worth? There's no mistake?
No.
Oh, perhaps I am mistaken. I received a call from London with a code message mentioning the amount and the number 4. Which means that the diamonds were to be taped under seat 4 on your plane.
That's right. I sat over them right across the ocean.
Then I called our friend Joe at the airport, told him in cubicle to get the diamonds from under seat 4 after the plane had landed and give them to his room.
Who naturally is Carl, the waiter. These are the diamonds he gave me.
I was almost positive our London friend said $150,000 of that. I might have been. Mama.
Yes, Papa.
A cup of tea for Mr. Lewis. He has brought us $100,000 worth of diamonds.
No, thanks. I don't care for any.
Oh, but diamonds. You must drink a cup of tea as a token that you just got. If you have trusted you.
Well, Mr. Kingston, shall we talk business?
In just a moment, Mr. Lewis. After all, we made this appointment over a week ago. Waiting a few more minutes... Oh, there he is now. Come in. Hello, Blackie. 3 o'clock sharp, just as you promised. How are you?
On time, Charlie. How are you?
Anxious to get down to business, and I will now that you're here.
All right.
Blackie, this is Mr. Lewis. Mr. Lewis, Boston Blackie.
Howdy, Mr. Blackie.
How are you?
Mr. Lewis is going to sell me $50,000 worth of diamonds.
Well, how much? $100,000?
That would be a fair price. Fair to me, that is.
A cup of tea, gentlemen?
I think so.
Why not?
All right. Now, about these diamonds, Mr. Lewis.
Yes.
You say the diamonds are worth more than the $50,000.
Much more. Here, take a look. You know diamonds, Blackie?
By the bargain, Lewis. Would this be kind of Kingston week?
They're not stolen, Blackie.
Well, then, let's drink to a good deal. Your health, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now let's get down to business.
Good.
Lewis, where do these diamonds come from? I'd know if they were hot.
They're not even slightly warm, Blackie. So, what difference does it make?
Lewis, what's the matter?
Uh-oh.
Blackie, what's the matter with him?
Nothing that a little life couldn't cure. He's dead.
Dead?
And from the looks of him, I'd say he was poisoned. We'd better call the police.
Police? Oh, we can't, Blackie. I can't be involved in anything like this. I can't afford a scandal.
You don't know what a scandal it might be. It's funny about these diamonds, but they're not hot. Chances are they were smuggled in, Jane.
A dead smuggler will be found in my apartment now. Blackie, that would ruin me. Blackie, please, now, get rid of the body. You can do it. Nobody will believe we had nothing to do with Lewis's death. Please, Blackie, get rid of this body for me.
Okay, Jane, I'll try. But what a field day it'll be for Faraday if he ever finds out about this. Stop the car about here, Charlie. Any place along this road.
All right.
I'll carry the body. Over these bushes. But I've got a hunch we should have called Faraday. Here goes. One Blackie getting rid of one body.
We couldn't have called Faraday, Blackie. Think what that would have meant to my reputation.
Well, it would have meant to the inspectors. Well... Cut down into the wheel, Charlie. Duck, here comes the car.
Blackie, do you think?
It doesn't mean anything. That car just happened to be coming along this road. We'll see in a minute.
Went past Blackie, thank goodness.
Goodness had nothing to do with this, Kingston. It's luck. Just plain luck. Look, Charlie. We're here at my apartment. We're safe so far. Stop pacing up and down.
I can't help it. I'm worried.
You can worry just as well sitting down. We're in no danger, providing nobody saw us.
That car that passed us on the road, Blackie, I'm worried about it.
I'm a little concerned about that myself. Oh, something tells me that's Faraday.
The police? Blackie, what'll we do?
Let him in, Charlie. If Faraday knows something, which I doubt, I can't ungrab me. Because I'm no good to you behind bars. Try and get rid of...
All right, but Blackie, I... Coming.
Hello, Inspector Faraday.
Well, Charlie Kingston. Good. I'll take both you and Blackie down to headquarters at the same time.
Headquarters? Well, for what?
You don't know for what. Come on in, Mr. Brown. Now, this is the man that dead guy Lewis went to see, isn't it?
Sure is, Inspector.
How do you know anyone came to see me?
I'm Paul Brown, Mr. Kingston. That's the official. I was following Lewis when he went to your house, and I saw your friend Boston Blackie carrying out Lewis's body.
He followed you in a car and saw you dump the body. Now, where's Blackie?
He isn't here.
He has to be here. Brown followed him here. Blackie hasn't gone out, and he can't get out. I've got a man at the back door. Come on, where is he?
He's in the bedroom.
Come on, Brown, here, look. You take the kitchen.
Right, if he's in there, I'll get him.
Well, Blackie's not in the bedroom. You find him in there, Brown?
No, not the kitchen.
Well, he's in here somewhere. Look in the closets, everywhere.
Right.
Inspector Faraday, Blackie and I didn't kill Mr. Lewis.
You didn't, huh? He had a cup of tea in your place. I know that, because I saw the cups and saucers.
Yes, but
and he was killed by poison tea. The medical examiner rushed an analysis when we brought in Lewis's body.
I can't understand it, Inspector Faraday. I searched his apartment from top to bottom. This fellow Blackie just isn't here.
You can't find him?
Not here. One of these days I'll get that guy and I'll...
Come on, Kingston. You're going to headquarters.
Why? I tell you, I didn't poison Lewis.
Sorry, Kingston, but you're the only one who had a chance to poison him. I've been following him. He didn't leave his room at the Carlton Hotel except to go to your house. He even had his meals up in his room, and he never ordered tea.
And poison tea killed him, and you gave him tea. Looks like we've got you, Kingston. You and Blackie both.
But you haven't Blackie yet.
Oh, but I'll get him. Oh, just wait till I get that Boston Blackie. Just wait.
Listen for just a few seconds to a man who knows good beer and who likes champagne velvet, the beer with the million-dollar flavor.
Bright and sparkling. Yes, sir. Light and lively. Yes, sir. Clear and clean. Yes, sir. There is no finer beer.
And that's a fact. Go where you will, pay what you will. No better beer than CV can be had at any price. No better beer than CV can be made at any cost. CV's famous formula provides for only the more costly premium quality materials. Then, CV's careful processing and controlled aging gives you a beer that you're sure is pure. CV's flavor will tell you all of that. You'll find it bright and sparkling from foam to finish. Robust and full-flavored as a real honest-to-goodness beer should be. CV's flavor will tell you that you're enjoying a premium-quality beer at no premium in price.
You're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth.
Now back to Boston Blackie. Mama and Papa Allen run a quiet little bookstore as a front for a profitable trade in smuggled diamonds. Papa Allen poisons Frank Lewis, but the poison doesn't take effect until Lewis is at the home of Boston. At Kingston's insistence, Blackie dumps the body of Lewis. But unbeknownst to him, a customs inspector has been following Lewis and trails Blackie and Kingston to Blackie's apartment. Here, the customs man and Inspector Faraday break in, but they find no trace of Blackie. As we return to our story, it is a few seconds afterwards.
Pretty uncomfortable. For me. Can't get the person out of this jam. That's a must.
Hello?
Mary.
Oh, hello, Blackie. What's the matter? You sound excited.
Not without reason. Only I won't tell you why now. Except that I spent the last 5 minutes on the ledge outside my living room window.
Blackie, that ledge is only a foot wide and you're 9 stories up. You didn't stand on that.
No, I'm glad to know that. You hear that, nerves? Well, then stop jumping. Mary, listen. You've got to do something for me.
Yeah, of course I will. What is it?
A man named Frank Lewis had a room at the Carlton Hotel. I overheard that while I was out on the ledge. I want you to get a room there, too, and order something from room service. Only make sure you get the waiter who served Lewis earlier today.
Well, how do I do that?
Well, spread some money around, and you'll find which waiter it was. I want to look at him. I'll be around somewhere, Mary. Wait for the waiter, and then wait for me.
Come in.
Your dinner, miss?
Oh, fine, thank you. Would you please bring me in?
It's very complimentary of you to ask for him. Has somebody recommended me?
Yes, a friend who stayed here last week.
Any place you'd like me to put the table, miss?
Well, now, let me see. Over here by the window, I think.
All right. Yeah. You wish to sign the check?
No, I think I'll pay for it.
As you wish.
Oh, dear. Now, where is my purse?
Here on the chair, miss.
Oh, yes, of course it's on the chair. Now, let's see. Oh, no, I think I'll sign for the thing. If I can just find a pencil.
Here's a pencil, miss.
Oh, thank you. There you are. It's all signed.
Thank you, miss.
Oh, just a minute. Just 1 minute, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. Now where did I put my purse?
It's still on the chair, miss.
Oh, isn't that silly of me? You know, thank goodness. There he is now. Come in. Blackie, I thought you... Inspector Faraday.
Hello, Miss Wesley. Surprised to see me? You can leave, waiter.
Yes.
You're expecting Blackie, huh? But he's not here yet, is he, Miss Wesley?
Blackie? Oh, now who's Blackie?
Uh-huh.
You're waiting here for Blackie, all right. Sooner or later, he'll be here. I'll be in touch with you. Then I'll be waiting for him with open arms.
I'm not looking for a room. My name's Boston Blackie, and I'm looking for one of your roomers.
Are you?
Yes. One who just came in. Who's he?
I don't know.
Well, do you know what this is?
It's a $5 bill.
Who was it? Just came in.
You mean Carl Black?
Of course. I know he's a waiter. What does he do when he isn't working?
He doesn't do nothing except sit up in his room and talk to Joe. And he,
Who's Joe?
Joe Bernard, Carl's roommate.
Oh. What does Joe do? He works at the Hotel Carlton, too?
No, he's a mechanic at the airport.
Which airport?
The one where those big planes come in from overseas.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Which is their room?
It's the one at the head of the stairs there. Number 5.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Who is it?
A friend of yours.
Hey, I don't know you, sir. Would you please?
But I know you. You're the waiter at the Carlton. I see your roommate's here, too. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Boston Blackie. You're Joe?
Joe?
So, I thought you'd like to know who you're working with.
I beg your pardon, but I don't know what you mean.
You know what I mean. We're all in this together. This nice diamond smuggling business.
I'm exceedingly sorry, sir. You're mistaken.
Really? What do you say, Joe?
I say you're in the wrong cubbyhole.
Well, right or wrong, we're all in this cubbyhole together. And this room is a lot cozier than the death cell up the river.
You must be out of your mind. You don't make sense.
Don't I?
No.
I know the police are looking for us for killing Lewis. Now am I making sense?
Mr. Lewis dead?
Shut up, Tom.
Don't try to shut him up, Joe. Look, we've got to do some fast thinking. Lewis was killed by poison tea. The police think you poisoned him, Carl.
I think I did, sir, but I served him no tea.
Well, where did he get it? He was in his hotel room all the time, except when he went to Kingston's to sell him those jewels, was he?
No. He went out once in my waiter's uniform. That was something our employer worked out in case anybody was following Mr. Lewis.
Oh, he did leave the hotel once before he went to Kingston.
Yes, sure. He went to deliver the diamonds to our employer.
Well, then maybe that's where Lewis picked up the poison tea. That's it, sure. It was a slow-acting poison that didn't take effect until he was talking to Kingston and me.
Undoubtedly, sir.
Look, Carl, you're yapping too much.
Say, I don't know who the boss is, do either of you?
No, but
you're
I've got...
You're talking too much to suit me, Carl. Maybe this will shut you up.
Maybe I know this will shut you up.
You hit Joe very hard, sir.
He needed something to keep him quiet for a while. Now, do you have any idea who the boss is?
No, sir, I haven't.
Well, how do you get your instructions?
Our employer, I really don't know who he is, calls here. Sometimes around this...
Look, you and I are going to make ourselves a lot of money, see? When the boss does call, if he calls, talk to him and tell him just what I tell you to say.
What will that be, sir?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Hotel Carlton.
11:15, please.
11:15. One moment, please.
Who are you calling, sir?
A friend of mine. I wanted to know the truth.
Hello?
Mary, this is Blackie. I followed that waiter to his rooming house.
I
was...
I'm going to put the police in here. They'll place the call.
Oh, no, they won't. But... Hello? Hello? What girl? But if she hung up too soon, maybe she was too smart.
Mama.
Yes, Papa?
It's time to call young Carl's patient. You keep on resting, Mama. You've had a hard day. I'll call.
All right.
We received a new shipment of children's books today.
Oh, we did? That's nice.
Some lovely books, too. Delightful stories. Delightful.
Hello?
Hello, Carl?
Yes, this is Carl.
Carl, will you please tell Joe something for me?
Next I beg your pardon, sir, but I have a message from Joe and myself for you.
What is this?
I'm sorry, sir, but you see, Joe and I found out who you are and... all about the murder of Mr. Lewis.
Joe?
In view of the fact that Joe and I have all this additional knowledge, sir, couldn't we have a little meeting?
You say you know who I am. I think you are not telling the truth.
I, sir? A liar? No, sir. I can understand your doubt. A hopeful doubt, isn't it, sir? Perhaps I am lying, but can you afford to consider? Now, won't you come to see us, sir? We're so happy to have
you. I tell you, Carl, we're nuts to pull this son of Blackie's. I say let's get out of here before the boss gets here and cracks down on both of us.
I'm afraid that's not possible, Joe, much as I might want to.
Yeah? Well...
Shh! It's an employer. We should do that, Blackie told us.
Okay, we'll give it a whirl. Come in.
Hello. You are Carl and Joe.
That's it. Don't move either one of you, please. Look, Papa, you can't kill us.
Can't I? I'm sure Mr. Lewis had the same doubt, but... I'm about to make a terrible error. There are three hats on the table here, and so far I have accounted for only two heads. I think perhaps the third one might belong to someone hiding in this closet. So, come out. I have a gun in my hand.
I see it, thank you. It's the look in your eye that frightens me more.
Blackie, you're responsible for all this.
Shut up, Carl.
Blackie? So, this is Mr. Boston Blackie. Well, Mr. Boston, you are about to make the headlines again, but this time not as a hero, but as a corpse. I am so sorry
I
have...
I'm sorry to have to do this to you.
Hi, Blackie. Who are these mugs?
Hello, Faraday.
All right, Rollins, bring the boys in here and round up this gang.
Wow. Thought you'd never get here, Faraday.
What do you mean, you thought I'd never get here? You're just lucky I was in that hotel room with Miss Wesley when you phoned and I traced the call. You'd be dead now if I weren't so smart.
I knew you were in that room with Mary Faraday. That's why I made the call. I wanted you to trace it.
You wanted me to?
Sure. I not only wanted you to get me out of this jam, but I wanted to show you, well, I must show my appreciation. I have arranged for you to pick up Carl here and Joe and Papa. Now, I've given you a nice haul. Now, suppose you haul me home. I'm tired.
Well, Blackie, all I've got to say is once you got your teeth into that smuggling situation, things certainly happened fast, didn't it?
Well, one thing is certain, Mary. The gang's broken up, and even its London contact has been, how would Scotland Yard say it, apprehended.
You know, of course, that you had me worried when you didn't get to the hotel in time to see the waiter.
Well, I was in the hall and followed him.
Oh, I'm not ignorant. Blackie, what is there about you and me that attracts situations like the smuggling ring?
I don't know. Maybe it's like those divining rods where you find water or oil or gold. If the stuff is there, the rod will find it.
And when trouble's there, Blackie will find it. Is that it?
Something like that. You know, the thing that amused me about this last case of ours is how Papa and Mama used a bookstore as a blind for their smuggling activities. The old man seems to be very fond of books, by the way.
Well, that's what it should be. Inspector Faraday's books, then.
If you want a beer with flavor, a flavor that's delightfully different, try the million-dollar flavor of Champagne Velvet Beer. It's just as smooth.
Now, there's a suggestion for the person who has yet to try Champagne Velvet. You'll find CV to be the smoothest, most mellow beer you ever tasted. More than that, you'll like its brightness, its sparkle, and the clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure. In addition, you'll enjoy the rich, robust and full-bodied flavor that proves CV's premium quality. Premium quality that is yours to enjoy at no premium in price. That's why our enthusiastic friend says...
Try it. Just try CV and you'll agree there is no finer beer. You're sure it's pure. And it's just as smooth. Just as smooth.
And now, here's a glimpse of what happens in next week's Boston Blackie Adventure.
this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. I like the villain in this one. Not one you would generally expect. A mild-mannered bookstore owner. Clever ruse, and overall, a good episode. Blackie really has got to stay away from Charlie Kingston. Charlie Kingston is his friend who always gets into trouble. I think this is like the fifth or sixth time that Kingston has put Blackie's freedom in peril by getting him involved in a murder case. Though this, I guess, wasn't as bad as the time where he dumped a body in Blackie's kitchen. But maybe that explains why he's Blackie's friend. Because someone who is constantly getting into murder cases and leaving bodies lying about where they can incriminate their friends is going to have trouble making friends. So thus, maybe Charlie Kingston has no friends, and therefore Boston Blackie became his friend. It's just part of the policy, I think. All right, well, now listener comments and feedback, and I confused some listeners because I myself was confused. Steven writes in, your commentary confused me. And I should add that this email is regarding episode 2250, murder on the Swan, murder aboard the Swan. He says, I think you said that the criminal was captured because he recognized the pictures of Mary and Shorty. He was captured because he recognized Mary's pictures, who he'd met on the boat, but didn't recognize Shorty's pictures. This your brother, who is supposed to be his good friend. He also didn't recognize Shorty in person. I thought it was a fair clue. And there's some confusion on this. This was cleared up by Andrew, who sent in an email writing about this. In Murder Aboard the Swan, you couldn't figure out how the perp confused the photo of Mary with Shorty earlier in the episode. Blackie or Mary mentions the photo of being of Mary and Shorty, or there are two photos, one for each character. So when the perp, who is supposed to be Shorty's friend, accepts the photo of Shorty as being one of Blackie's brother, he knows the man is lying about who he is. I've heard most of these episodes many times, which is probably why I knew what was going on. I enjoyed your introductions while you were traveling. Somehow they made the programs even more homey and comfortable. Thanks so much. And yeah, because of course the area we were in Ohio, was a lot more rural than Boise, 99th biggest city in the country now. And where we were in Ohio, much smaller and more rural settings, so... Thanks so much for your comment and your assistance, and I hope everyone is clear on that. I think I am, mostly. We also have received some favorable comment on our 2250th episode special, episode 2252S, The Library Book. Sean said, I had my doubts at first, but turned out to be a good episode. Sherry said she was certainly a dedicated librarian, and Eric says, as a librarian, I approve. Well, that, I think, pretty much settles if that was a good episode. I appreciate everyone's comment, and it was fun to hear Myrna Loy, and I love doing those one-off specials and appreciate the feedback on that. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Next Thursday, we'll be back with Boston Blackie. In the meantime, become one of our friends on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And as always, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.